Hola, bienvenidos a un nuevo episodio de Marketer Pitch, the podcast, the news and trends podcast from a vantage, black and brown perspective. I'm Yesenia Reynoso, one half of the co-hosting squad, and to the opposite end of the spectrum is my good friend, partner and co-host himself, Corey Davis.
Sí, hola, yo soy Corey Davis. That's all I know.
We are very much still within the very latter days of Hispanic Heritage Month. So we are wrapping up, this momentous celebration, another year, for us fellow Latinos. And so I felt inspired to bring in that extra sazón. As we talked in the last episode, and so I felt it was a must.
Yes, and happy Hispanic Heritage Month. I'm glad. There's been a lot of great, from what I've been seeing in the media, there's been a lot of great representation, a lot of great events, even in a kind of post-COVID world. So I definitely think, just because of Hispanic Heritage Month is one month, similar to Black History Month, let's continue it to be 365 and more than one month.
Yes, absolutely, Corey. I echo those sentiments 150%. And so we want to welcome our audience members to Season 2, Episode 2, a.k.a. Volume 14 of the podcast. We're so happy to have you. If you are interested in listening to this episode, the last episodes, and all the past past volumes of season one and the intermission series, you can access them available across all major podcasting mediums, our YouTube page, and weekly on Thursday mornings on the Helium Radio Network. And also, don't forget, if you want to follow us, we are live across social media platforms at Twitter and Instagram. Find us at Marketer Pitch. And finally, if you have a question, comment, or anything that you want to address to us, anything in particular, please don't hesitate. Email us at marketerpitch@gmail.com.
Yes, we definitely want to hear your thoughts. And also, if you have any topic that you want us to discuss or to debate, please just reach out and maybe we'll dedicate an episode to it in the future.
Absolutely, my friend. And so I think this, before we launch into volume 14, aka episode 2, I do have an announcement to make, Corey. Because last time in episode 13, we offered a teaser to our audience regarding a specific partnership that was in the works, but I am now very happy to announce it that it has become official. So Corey, would you like to do a drum roll, please?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to announce that Marketer Pitch and the Wisdom app has agreed to a partnership for us to air all of our insights, our expertise, exclusively to the Wisdom app community. So yes, Marketer Pitch and Wisdom are partnering together. And for those who don't know, the Wisdom app launched officially a couple of days ago. And so it is now live, so you can access it across the iTunes or the Play Store. Both Corey and I will be offering our input of many different types of marketing and public relations topics, career advice, thought leadership, and many more. So if you want to hear, you want to hear from us and generate in any kind of conversation, please download the Wisdom app and find us at Marketer Pitch. That is our official Wisdom page. And Corey, I cannot even begin to tell you the excitement that I have, and I'm sure you are as well, in bringing all of our knowledge and a little bit of that Marketer Pitch spice over to Wisdom.
Yes, and this is a very cool opportunity, I think, where we're going to continue to have important conversations that matter, and it's something that Wisdom app, partnering with them, who has the same kind of ideals and same kind of just messaging that we want to give out into this universe, into this world. So I'm very glad to partner with them.
Yes, absolutely. And so I cannot even begin, to tell you how excited I am with this opportunity. This is our chance to further increase our platforms, our respective thought leadership brands. But more importantly, we want to give you, the viewers, the opportunity, to have these all important conversations, that transcend across not only our respective industries, but others as well.
Great.
All right. So with that in mind, we're going to dive right into the show. We got lots to discuss. And so let's kick it off, with the appetizer course. And so, Corey, one of the things that I stumbled upon this week was a pretty interesting take from Adweek, where we're going to talk a little bit about Blue's Clues.
Yes. Everyone's favorite kids program from the 90s.
That adorable little puppy. I fell in love. I was a huge Blue's Clues fan when I was a little girl, and I watched the show religiously. And so obviously for those, who remember from the 90s, Blue's Clues was one of the most popular shows on Nickelodeon. And Steve, who was the first main host of the show, basically came back, after 25 years from being absent of the show. Obviously, Blue's Clues now is under, under a new team. And so in Adweek today, it was really interesting to see that Steve, who I don't remember the name of the actor of the time, unfortunately. But Steve from Blue's Clues gave, and this is the title from Adweek, just gave us all a masterclass in empathy marketing. And so I wanted to talk about empathy marketing, because I think if there is something to say, about empathy marketing, is that it's the importance of, being able to, having a responsibility as communicators and as marketers to embrace empathy. And as that role continues to increase across all mediums, especially more on social media, we need to be able to deliver content that makes, our audience lives much more brighter, easier, and more relatable. The more emotional and empathetic the content is, the better. And so I really, I really like the way as to how Steve explained, and it was posted across Blue's Clues social media platforms, why he decided to leave the show, aka go off to college. And it was very nostalgic, to me, but also kind of pulled the strings from an empathetic standpoint, that sometimes, being real and being truthful, can help deliver, content, that can easily transcend across mediums. And so, Corey, I wanted to, bring you in and offer your thoughts on it, on empathetic marketing.
No, I definitely feel like empathy marketing is probably more important than data marketing or analytical marketing, because it allows brands and companies to get involved in their consumer's journey, to feel like they're another family member, to hopefully get their support, and to get their acknowledgement to wanting to be a part of their brand and inclusive of the brand and buying their brand for years to come. I think last week in our last episode 13, when we discussed in our entree section about how, and I think you mentioned it, how a lot of Hispanic consumers are very loyal because they have very deep connections to some of these items like Vicks Vapor Rug or another brand like Bimeo or another brand. Yeah. Empathy marketing allows brands and consumers to almost create that same kind of loyalty with consumers, because it's giving them an ability to step in and to feel like, I'm one of you. I know what you're going through. I know what you need. I understand your approach in life, and I'm here to help you through my product. So I think it's very important for most branches have more empathy in their marketing, especially after a COVID year, where, as we know, so much has changed over the last year.
You know, I personally feel that empathy is a very key factor in terms as to how do we deliver actual factual messaging, especially in times of crisis. Not only in the past episodes, but also in season one, where I talked about the importance of showcasing empathy, especially in crisis communications. Many people need to be, need to have a clear-cut understanding, but also, showcase, some feeling, as to why this is happening, how we're trying to fix the issue, and what are the steps taken and the follow-ups needed, to ensure that the audience is not only properly informed, but also makes a connection with them. And so I think when it comes, from a storytelling element, I think it's always good, to showcase, that kind of empathetic moment. There's always, many different ways as to we learn from, whether it's good moments or bad moments, and also figuring out ways as to make those connections. And so I found it kind of interesting that with empathetic marketing communications coming back into play, and how does it, intertwine, with both of those respective sides. I think it's really important to deliver high quality content, that can easily pull the tie strings, but also it's relatable to what, everyday individuals go through on a daily basis. I think it's very much needed, actually.
Yeah, I agree. And just another, I'm sorry, just another point on empathy marketing, and just coming off of like last year, I'm thinking like with empathy, like they need to just really understand not only is your marketing, but I feel like your branding team. So the corporate offices at these companies, the employee also need to be more empathetic in their outreach, in addition to some of the creative elements that are going out into the public.
And, and that particular tidbit is a great way to close off our appetizer segment. So, thank you, Corey. And now we shift on to the main course of the meal. Obviously, last episode, I actually ordered something very mild, but this time I'm very much in the room to bring in something a little bit more spicy.
I'm waiting.
Corey, the topic that you actually wanted to talk about in the last episode was about the movie In the Heights. And the strengths and the limitations of colorism, which was which was heavily impacted and plagued during the film. So for those who don't know, the movie In the Heights premiered earlier in the summer of this year, which was Lin-Manuel Miranda's very first Broadway show. That cemented his popularity. And so In the Heights, it's the movie that, that talks about the residents, that live in that community. And there was major controversy surrounding the movie because of colorism and the lack of Latino slash Hispanic actors, who are of darker skin, who did not really make that big of an impact in the film. And so I wanted to bring this particular article up from NPR, which talks about the limitations of Latinidad and how colorism haunted not only In the Heights, but also haunts all of our industries, from both the media, marketing, communications, and also every other industry, that's currently cemented. It was pretty interesting that the movie, when it reached a fever pitch, more viewers started to wonder why there weren't many dark-skinned Afro-Latinos in any of the Latino roles. And I think what has demonstrated is, the fact that, colorism, is just a segment of a much bigger picture about race, representation in our society, because this has always been the standardization of lighter skin people being centered, I should say, across the board. And so now with DEI becoming such a heavy focus, it does bring back those questions, you know, as to how and why we need to confront this. Why now at this time? And so I thought it was a cultural moment. It was supposed to be a landmark moment, this particular movie, but it got completely interrupted because of this colorism controversy. And so, Corey, I want to bring you into the loop of this, because, you know, obviously, as someone who has advocated a lot about DEI, you know, we talked about, you know, the importance of representation in our, not only in our respective communities, but it needs to be showcased across all industry sectors. I wanted to get your thoughts as to the importance of having these tough and difficult conversations, and what are the best ways, you know, for marketers and communicators, you know, not only to initiate those productive conversations, but more importantly, how do we genuinely get to move the needle when it comes to these kinds of issues?
Yes, and thank you for indulging in this spicy topic, the spicy entree. Mm-hmm. So first, I really just want to take a step back and give the definition of colorism to people who don't know the official definition, and it's discrimination against darker-skinned people within the same ethnic group. So for any of our white audiences who are listening, obviously colorism would not exist in the white community, but as we know, Black and brown people, African-American community, of course, as well, the Hispanic community, there's many different shades that make up this group. And colorism is today and has always been a problematic issue where lighter skin tones or lighter skin hues are celebrated, not only just internally, but celebrated in the media, celebrated in fashion, because the way life is looked at, it's in our industry, in many different industries, are the closer or the more adjacent you are to white culture, the more popular or the more acceptable you shall be. So with that said, I think the reason why I originally brought this topic up last week is it wasn't that In the Heights is like the only big thing that did colorism. In the Heights was actually the first time I really think across the board that colorism was called out. And it really goes back to just branding and marketing and PR. Let's look at the history. And this is somebody, I'm obviously African-American. I'm not Hispanic. I have no Hispanic family in my background. But I'm assuming my experiences when looking at the Hispanic ethnicity and Latino culture is probably similar to white people as well. Is I initially thought that all Hispanics or all Latinos look like a Sofia Vergara. They look like a Jennifer Lopez. They look like these lighter skinned, because in my representation in the media was only one view. I never saw a darker skinned Latino or a Latina or a Latinx. I only saw this one view of it. So my media representation was like, this is the only look. This is the look. And that's how I moved. It wasn't until I got older, did more research, that I saw that there's Latinos and Latinas who was dark as my skin, and there's Latinos and Latinas who look whiter than an Irishman or a person from Irish descent, and seeing these varying results. But I actually had to seek that out. I have not seen media representation to show that. In today's standards, I have not seen any media campaigns with an Afro-Latino. I've never seen any TV shows with an Afro-Latino lead. So you have a whole group of people who are ostracized from society because the media is not looking to reach them. And why? It's because they feel like they can reach Black people, African Americans, who have completely different cultures than Afro-Latinos. But according to the media, they feel like they're doing their job with, if I have Hispanic messaging reaching a person who looks like Sofia Vergara that speaks Spanish, and then I have an African American messaging that reaches just Black people, I can do my job. When they really should be looking at subsets and looking at regions. So if you really want to reach Afro-Latinos, you really have to message to them, show the representation, and actually give information as far as our culture.
You know, you could have not said it any more perfectly right there, Corey. You know, I've always been, you know, as a storyteller, you know, my job is to tell stories in an authentic and credible manner, but also build a platform for underrepresented voices for them to come to that platform and tell their story in a way that, you know, that relates and connects to millions of individuals. I think what has become, you know, incredibly relevant is that, you know, emphasizing representation matters more than ever. I had the opportunity to work and now it's published a second feature on PR News that talks specifically about Hispanic diversity in public relations, which I stated that is a slow work in progress. And this could, you know, some of the things that I say could very well translate over into what we are currently going through in the United States, because I see there's an intersectionality between diversity in the United States and then diversity efforts in Latin America. And so it's really interesting, you know, to see, you know, as to how the standardization, you know, or the status quo, you know, has kept society, you know, in check, you know, with one similar straight figure for so many years. And now that as we're diversifying ourselves, as we're becoming much more multicultural and multiracial, and now, you know, we're actually talking about the importance of bringing those underrepresented voices to the forefront, it has become a unique opportunity for us, you know, to insert a certain flavor of storytelling, which can be very enticing to all backgrounds. But one of the things, you know, that I pointed out in my article is that the prominence of multiculturalism in the media world is very noticeable. But we have to admit, Corey, it has been painfully slow because many companies simply just genuinely struggle as to how to talk about colorism or anything within the DEI space. And so we are witnessing that the signs are becoming more prominent, that brands are returning to that earlier mindset, especially within the Hispanic community, where the outreach is starting to be minimized yet again. And so it is of the uttermost importance to not eliminate that multicultural strategic effort, because when you have a multicultural strategic initiative, through proper research, then you'll be able to authentically make those connections with your audience and as well establishing a new market. Nobody likes to have messaging that's very generic and general. And when it comes to developing, you know, that messaging, it's of the uttermost importance to bring those, you know, those cohesive and transparent voices into the positions of power. Why? Because those people who are in power, if they see themselves in those positions, they know exactly, you know, who they are, what they came from, what's their behavioral needs, their consumption, everything that goes around it. And so through the research, it's incredibly important to figure for companies to understand what motivates audiences, you know, what entices them. And through that research, be able to provide trustworthy and reliable information, as well as figuring out where are the best mediums to transmit messaging. And so in this, you know, in this COVID era, we, you know, companies need to be very, you know, be very frank with one another, have these open conversations, and embrace them, welcome them. I think it's, you know, having these transparent conversations can only strengthen that dialogue. And so like when I see, you know, what has happened, you know, with the movie In the Heights, while it is great that Lin-Manuel Miranda has acknowledged the lack of Afro-Latino actors in the movie, especially in the more prominent roles, and he says he's going to do better, it's still been a painfully slow process, and it continues to do so as much. So what is holding us back? What exactly is preventing us, you know, from taking that next step? And I think if we overcome those hurdles through concrete and genuine conversations, then we can, you know, then we could go on ahead and, you know, break down those barriers. So that way, you know, not only Afro-Latinos, but also individuals, you know, who are coming from dark, you know, from a country, you know, I can't come up with the word, so apologies. But what I wanted to say is that we need to, you know, we need to build a platform and then break down those walls, so that way people who have been underrepresented, to be able to come to that spotlight and be able to deliver that honest feedback, and more importantly, make those connections, you know, make those connections that are going to resonate with general audiences. Representation matters.
I agree. And I will say that it's not just up to Lin-Manuel Miranda to solve this. So yes, he can do a lot better, but I'm pushing this back to our industry. We need to start seeing representation in ads. We need to start seeing representation and messaging with varying hues of different colors and different people being represented in the media in order for this to change. You want people to actually change in everyday life. Have them turn on TV or have them go into a Target and see a billboard with different cultures and different backgrounds. And then you'll see the next generation changing, including these groups of people in representation.
I'll wrap it up with this, my friend, because when it comes to colorism and In the Heights, it's a very complicated history. It's like both sides are conflicted with one another. But what it ties into is the fact that there is a systemic issue of racism within the entertainment industry. It's clearly pervasive. But also what we've been seeing is that, you know, they're stuck in the past. And so they can't come up with ways as to how to break out of that, you know, out of that spell or that similar piece that, you know, that has, you know, prevented us from taking that necessary. And it continues to happen. The same stereotypes, the same systematic racism, the same reactions to colorism and many other different types of issues, they continue to, you know, continue to plague us today. And so the other issue of colorism, especially within the Latino community and the culture, is the colonial legacy, you know, that has been embedded in our history, especially among the lighter skin who have earned a social privilege, which is often denied to the darker skin, Afro-Latinos or indigenous people. And so while we are starting to see, you know, today we're starting to see the progress is starting to break through. It is clearly evident that internal biases are still at play, and we still have a long way to go. In order to have real progress stem through across all mediums.
And you said that perfectly, friend. So that's a great way to end.
Yes. And with that, Corey, I assume that you are stuffed yet again. I think it's safe to say that we will be skipping our dessert portion, unless if you prefer to head in that direction.
No, let's skip it. I can't eat anymore. And we've had some great content already.
Fabulous, my friend. So I'm equally as stuffed as you are. So our dear marketer pitch audience, that wraps up our show for today, episode 2, aka volume 14, whatever it is that you want to look at it. I think we have laid down the groundwork for a potential future episode, that may very well tackle a particular hot-breaded embedded topic that has been truly been shooting at the fire steams in our society today from a cultural standpoint. Right, my friend?
That is 100% correct.
And we will get to that particular topic. We like to tease here at Marketer Pitch.
Yeah.
and so we will get to that particular topic at a future episode. So stay tuned. So until then, Corey, do you have any last words?
No, I definitely want to thank everyone for their time. I want to thank people for continuing listening. Again, our opinions are really just our opinions, and we value varying opinions. We value other people maybe just agreeing with us, disagreeing with us, but we don't know unless you reach out to us. So please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or email us for your thoughts and comments.
Thank you very much, my friend. Please do so. And also, don't forget, if you want to catch this episode as well as the past ones, again, we are available across all major podcasting mediums, YouTube, and weekly on Thursday mornings at 6:30 a.m. on the Hedium Network. Don't forget now, as of today, download the Wisdom app so you could come and visit us at our official Wisdom page at Marketer Pitch, so you'll have the opportunity to engage in conversation with both Corey and myself. We will be making appearances together and or separately, so we can't wait to, you know, to have these real genuine conversations with you all, and yeah, that wraps up volume 14, aka episode 2. We are very much looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks time for episode 3, aka volume 15. So take care, everyone, and till the next episode. Bye.
Bye, everyone.